is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Colorado State Rams going to get in the fast lane and head on over to Greeley tonight, or maybe just the slow lane or the minimum speed limit range, whatever. Yeah, I botched it, Angel. I botched it. Joining us on our First Advantage Hotline, head coach for Colorado State, Nico Medved. Coach, appreciate your time as always, my friend.
No, man, it's great to be on. So you got to back up. Where were you going with the fast lane, slow lane?
I said you guys were going to take the fast lane to Greeley, and then Angel looked at me weird, and then I lost it. And
Is there a fast lane on 34?
I don't know. They're probably not. So, Coach, just don't do that. Don't do anything illegal. Just get here safely and be ready to play basketball.
That's the plan. Well, we better be ready to play basketball tonight. So that's the plan.
I'm excited for this one. I'll be out there tonight, Coach. I love this matchup too. I love growing basketball in the state, and I always think it's an opportunity for teams like UNC. I mean, they don't get the biggest crowd in the world. I know a lot of Rams fans are coming to this game too to get in front of people and showcase kind of what they can do. And you guys have had some battles the last couple of years. I just love this kind of game and this atmosphere because I really think it builds up the state of basketball.
Well, I think so. There's definitely a much higher interest level when the front range teams get together. And it's that way in our league, right, with Air Force and Wyoming. And, you know, this is the third year in a row we played UNC. You know, thankful we still have our series with CU. And I think those things are important. The Nuggets are doing, you know, are probably the best team in the NBA right now. So anything that helps basketball here in Colorado, I think, is a good thing.
Yeah, and again, looking forward to this one tonight. Coming to Greeley, taking on the UNC Bears, tip off at 6 o'clock. Coach, before we kind of dive into that game, starting off the season 2-0, and you're looking at this group of yours, man, Coach, when it starts clicking, this roster really, you just seem like you have a lot of guys, a lot of athletes that can make plays happen. I've been so impressed, and obviously it starts with Isaiah Stevens, who I think is probably throwing an assist somewhere right now. It just seems like that's what he does all the time.
No, he's really, you know, since coming back from the day he got back to campus in June, he's just been really focused and been an incredible leader, and is playing at a high level, as you would expect, but he's just playing so mature. It's never about him. It's about the team. It's about winning. And so he's just done such a great job of helping lead these guys and helping develop chemistry early. And, you know, it's a small sample size. You know, first two games and our scrimmages have gone the way, but these guys know that tonight is a whole different challenge. So you're only as good as your last game, and we got to go out there tonight and really put our best foot forward. But so far, these guys have really gelled that way and have bought into the whole team concept, and we got to keep that going.
Coach, on the Isaiah Stevens thing, it's probably a stupid question, but the guy has broken so many records and broke his own record the other night. Now he's as far as in-game assists and then the Mountain West assist record. Is that something that is ever talked about in a game, or is that you don't even think about it? Isaiah doesn't even think about it until it's done. There's never somebody saying, "Hey, by the way, you're two assists away from passing your own record." Does that ever come up?
I'll be honest, like it really doesn't. At least not with me. Somebody else might be aware. I mean, I had no idea at halftime that he had 12 assists already, or anything like that. I was upset with our defense for a lot of the first half. The only thing I was focused on was how we were playing and trying to win the game. And I think the one thing about Isaiah, who people know him and they know so well, is it's great to break records. It's great to get recognition. Everybody wants that, and he deserves that. But that's not what he's focused on. Like, he would trade a record like that to win a game in a heartbeat. Because that's who he is. So there's no focus on that. It's just trying to play well and win. And, you know, when he does that at a high level, great things happen. But, no, I was not aware of that at all until after the game. I think they made an announcement during the game, but I just don't even pay attention to that stuff. But, yeah, when I saw the stat sheet, you know, at halftime, and I saw it after the game, and then I saw the thing that I loved the most about the other night is we had 37 assists, you know, to 9 turnovers. So that really popped off the page, and that's the way that we love our teams to play, and it always looks better when shots are going in.
Coach, with another player that I am just, we had him on last week. He is a delight to talk to, Joel Scott. You know, in the back of your mind, you know, obviously you think when you get a guy like that who played at such, you know, at a high level, at a D2 level, but he was the man. Is there part of your mind that's like, man, what if that doesn't transition, that doesn't translate to this level? And obviously you lean more toward, yeah, he's going to. That's why we want him. That's why we're recruiting him. But were you surprised at all about his quick start? I mean, I joked with him the other day. I was like, first game in your career at this level, and you were the lead scorer in the game. And he's like, dude, I would have told you you're crazy if you would have told me that a month ago. But talk about his progression so far and that transition to this level.
You know, I'm not surprised based on what I could see right away, like the first 2 weeks to a month that he got here in the summer. I mean, you could see very clearly the way he played, his athleticism, his toughness. There's nothing fancy about Joel Scott. He is just all about business, plays tough, plays simple. I mean, I just love what he brings to our team. And, you know, I told him very quickly, you know, before the season started that, you know, a lot of people are going to try to tell you, well, you're making this jump to high-level Division I. You know, now you're going to have to do this, that, and the other. And I said, you know what, you're going to find out really quickly that the same things you did to make you the best player in the country at the Division II level, you're going to be able to take that same skill set here to Division I and be successful. You don't have to change anything. Just be who you are. And I think he's figured that out. You know, really in our two close scrimmages, Brady, we played two, you know, high major opponents. And I think he built confidence from that he could see that, hey, I can go out there and do what I do and be effective. And that's carried over here early in the season. So he's been great. He's been a great teammate, been a great addition to our team, and we're lucky we have him.
We're talking to CSU head coach Nico Medved. And, Coach, you talked about it, you know, at the half against Wright State. You're like, hey, I just got to get this team rolling. That's what I'm more focused on. And then you did. You come out and you outscore the Raiders 60-35, getting the win 105-77. Two games, small sample size, and you said even with scrimmages, but you know, quick starts for you guys. Is that something that you've been emphasizing, is trying to say, hey, we want to get to the point where we're not back and forth so much or coming from behind in that Louisiana Tech game? Is that something that you are really trying to focus on and practice, is, hey, we got to dial in right off the bat so we can just get out to a quick lead?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, yeah, but again, it's a small sample size. And two, I mean, basketball's played for 40 minutes, right? Like, I think that sometimes, you know, basketball can be a game of runs, and you've got to try to play at your highest level for 40 minutes. And just because you start fast doesn't mean you end fast, right? I mean, everyone would love to do that, right? Start fast, play great in the middle, and then put your foot on the gas at the end. But if it were only that simple. And so I think sometimes too, you know, in the season, you have a little bit of film, you don't know as much about your opponents, and sometimes you get out there and you kind of get in a feel for how the game's going to go, right? And what players like to do, and try to make some adjustments as the game goes on. And I think fortunately we've been able to do that. And, you know, we've run into some teams too that have come out of the gate strong, that have come out firing. And, you know, I have no doubt UNC is going to be ready to rock tonight at 6 o'clock. So, I mean, they're going to want to start fast too. And so we're going to have to be ready to play. But regardless of what happens, Brady, in the first 8 to 10 minutes, you're up, down, whatever's going, you got to keep playing. The game is played for 40 minutes, and the team that can play, you know, the most consistent for the longest periods of time over the course of the game is the one that comes out the winner.
Well, and I think that's something we've learned about your teams over in the past too. You know, you're always in it. There's always something that's going to happen when you have great leadership and on this roster as well, and guys that just believe in themselves. And yeah, you talk about UNC and this team tonight. I was listening to St. Thomas, a new face for the UNC Bears. I was listening to him on a post game the other night. He is so, and he's new to the area, he's new to all this, but he absolutely loves these matchups, these in-state matchups, and you can just hear it. These guys in Greeley, they look at you, they look at Colorado State, if we can win this game, I mean, it's like a Super Bowl to us in many ways. And you knowing that, Coach, I think you and I have talked about it, that paints a crazy, ridiculous target on your back when you're going up against schools like this. Solid teams, but they know a win against the Colorado State Rams is a marquee victory for them.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, listen, they're going to play well tonight. we're going into the Hornets' nest, right? It's the whiteout, it's a big game, all that stuff, and rivalry game, all of it. Whenever we play these guys or you play any of these opponents, throw it all out the window. It's going to be a hard-fought game, and our guys know that. They know what they're walking into here tonight. But I think as a competitor, you got to look forward to that. You know, you got to want to be in these environments and love to challenge yourself. And we're doing that with our schedule this year.
Oh, no, you know, question.
I mean, the first two teams we play, those are teams that have a chance to compete, you know, in their league. And so this is going to be a hard test for us tonight, but we're looking forward to it. We're looking to go out there and test ourselves, and I hope the crowd gets after us and they're on us, and there's a lot of emotion in the game, and that's what you sign up for when you play college basketball. And so what a great opportunity for us tonight as well.
Coach, is this a game that you really value? I mean, I obviously know you value it, but when you're looking forward, I know it's still up in the air as whether this is going to happen off and on. You don't have to answer that today, but I know a lot of my listeners just absolutely love the idea of UNC and CSU playing every single year.
Well, I hope, you know, it's hard. I mean, it's crazy the changes that are going on right now in college athletics, conference realignment. You know, how many conference games do we end up moving to? I think you're starting to see rumblings of that around the country. So I think there's so many things that have to be decided yet, you know, looking forward to playing. But, you know, there's a lot of things about it that make sense, being right down the road and all that. But yeah, we signed a three-year deal here when we played these guys, a 2-for-1, and it's over after this year. And, you know, once it's over and the season's over, we'll kind of talk moving forward.
Yeah, you know, just thinking about that with football, they have to, they plan out their schedules like 80 years, you know, in the future. Basketball, you guys can move around a little bit easier, so you don't have to have that full plan for the next 10 years set in stone.
Oh, gosh, I mean, and the way it works in basketball, it's kind of wild. I mean, they're still a lot of teams, you know, looking for games in August. You know, this year it's a little bit more chaotic that way.
Yeah, why is that, Coach? Again, I joke about it, but football's crazy with it. They figure out their schedules, but then when COVID hit, they were doing the same thing. They were scheduling games like 5 seconds before. Why is there such a difference there between the two?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts. So first of all, you have a lot more games. You have multiple dates, you know, throughout the week. Football is usually played right on Saturdays throughout the year. So the dates are a lot easier to schedule in advance. That's very, very difficult to do with basketball. There's so many different moving parts with MTEs and different events like that. I also think, you know, with the metrics of the NCAA tournament and people trying to prepare for the postseason with the net rankings and how that all works with quad one, quad two, quad three, quad four, and how you're trying to schedule your games. There's so much turnover on people's rosters. People are trying to be strategic on who they schedule, how they schedule to maximize those opportunities because teams change so much year to year. So I think you factor in all those things. That's usually what happens. So it's really a combination of all those factors. And it just can become very, very difficult to schedule things, you know, far out in advance. And, you know, one thing we did, you know, we like with St. Mary's, we had essentially a 4-year contract with them home and away. If it's the right team, maybe there's something that we can do there. But that's kind of the world we live in right now.
Yeah, no question about it, Coach. Well, I'm looking forward to this one tonight. I love following this basketball team. So far, so good. A lot of fun to see some of these new faces gel and everything, some studs on this basketball team. So we're looking forward to a fun one tonight, Coach. We wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, Brady. Appreciate you having me on. We'll see you in a little bit.
All right, my friend. Sounds good. That's CSU head coach Nico Medved. And no, my fast lane thing didn't fly, Angel. I meant, you know, they're going to be hopping on the fast lane to get here to Greeley and get ready for a big basketball game tonight. The Rams are 11, last I looked, 11-point favorites in this game tonight. Are we going to see the kind of points that we've seen in the last couple of years between these two teams? I mean, the last 2 years, their offenses have both fired away. With UNC, you wonder if they're going to be more of that defensive-minded team where they're not going off offensively, can they slow down Colorado State in the first half or so?
I think the trend of CSU starting slow doesn't show up tonight,
but the second half is where this game gets close.
So you think CSU gets off to a quick start and takes an early decent lead, and then UNC fights back?
I think a quick start in that both teams are playing a lot of offense and not very well defense. And then I think as the game gets closer in the second half, you will start to see more of like maybe you get to like the 40s, 50s in the first half, and then you end the game at like 60, 70.
Yeah. I'm excited to see both of these teams in person. It'll be my first chance to do it, so I'm pumped up. Rams, Bears, man. Doesn't get much better than this. I hope Medved is wanting to have this game. I do, because I know UNC does, but I hope CSU in the future keeps this thing going every single year. It's tough. It's tough, because when you're CSU, you are thinking about the quad one, quad two, and all that stuff, and if you're going to lose, you want to lose to those teams. It's when if you lose to UNC, it really hurts you. And for the Bears, that's great to win it. But we all know for the Bears, it's like, honestly, you could lose every regular season game. Just as long as you get into you're in the tournament automatically, you just win that thing. So I can see why, you have to be careful with how you do things here. But personally, and I think statewide, I think it's a great thing. 12:51 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.